This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Brisbane, Queensland, Australia, very good news to begin after a rough week. Reporters Without Borders is reporting that Australian journalist Cheng Li has arrived home after 3 years' detention in China. This is extremely good news. The puzzle is China and Australia have been staring at each other for several years now because Australia asked for the origins of COVID-19. Now is Cheng Li's return after 3 years of being detained for no reason, charged with spying. Quite fantastic. Chinese-born Australian national. Is this a trend to soften the relationships, or is this a one-off? Scott, a very good evening to you. How is this presented in Australia? I understand a victory, but at the same time, what does it mean? Good evening.
G'day, John. Yeah, this is a breath of fresh air. I mean, after the events of Israel and the conflict going on in the Middle East right now, this has been the major story in Australia, the return of Cheng Li after 3.5 years of captivity in detention in China. And the government is taking ownership of this. The Prime Minister telling the Australian public, well, this is a good faith gesture, of course. It's being seen as the preview to what his talks hope to be when he visits China later this month. Now, the plan is that the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, will see President Joe Biden, and somewhere, somehow, on his return to Australia, we'll be visiting China, a chat with his presidential counterpart in China. They're hoped to smooth things over. As you know, things got very rough. We got tariffs being up the wazoo just about because of a question that the previous Australian government asked, and that was the origins of the pandemic. Where did it all come from? How did it start? Just did not fly well.
Scott, a detail now. Here. Last week we reported that they're worried about the Prime Minister's plane being hacked in some fashion by Chinese bad actors. Is that story gone away, or is that still a concern?
It is still a concern, but it has been moved back because of recent news events. But it is still a contentious issue. What will he do? Will he take a commercial jet? Will they swap planes? We don't know yet, but it is something that is still very much a concern here in Australia.
Another controversy these last weeks, of course, the theme of the catastrophe in the Middle East, two wars as simultaneously. Hundreds of people joined a pro-Palestinian rally at the Sydney Opera House while the building was lit in the colors of the Israeli flag amid escalating tensions in the Middle East. This is 2 days out of date. What's happened since then, Scott? Are they standing off? Are they banning protests? What's the mood in Sydney?
The authorities are saying, please don't activate such rallies because, as you know, John, things start off good-natured. Things start off peaceful. It's always something that happens. Now, we've got rallies scheduled right across the weekend. Again, both sides being targeted with these rallies. But one specific case, at least we can mention right now, authorities won't accept anti-Semitic incidents. And one did take place at a rally. A man has been charged for his anti-Semitic incident. He threatened four teenagers in Sydney after the group displayed their Israeli flag on a car. And it just won't be tolerated. So everybody has the right to free speech. We know this in America. We know this in Australia. But these are the types of things where a peaceful rally gets out of hand. And so there is grave concern that future rallies, something like this may happen again. So authorities are asking people not to participate in such rallies. Of course, the notion to do these rallies far outweighs the concerns that something bad may happen, John.
It's a difficulty around the world, Scott. I report that France has banned any rally whatsoever. Macron's personally banned it. And in the United States, there's upset after upset on campuses across the country because of Palestinian provocateurs and Jewish students feeling either unsafe or enraged. So it's happening everywhere, not just at the Sydney Opera House. We now go to the big election of the month. This is it. New Zealand. And I'm learning New Zealand. I've had a conversation with a New Zealand professor. You have to figure out the geography before you can figure out the country. So I'll say it this way. Hamilton, the University of Waikato in Hamilton, which is near Auckland on the North Island. Have I said it correctly, Scott?
It's Waikato.
Waikato. I'll learn it. Waikato. The New Zealand election is underway. There's a Labour Party in place. There's a National Party challenging. However, both parties have smaller parties attached to them, but do not have enough for a majority. So we expect another minority government. So that's as far as I can go. What is the expectation in the polling before the vote?
Yeah, it's a little complex. I'll try to keep things as simple as possible. You're right. The ruling Labour Party doesn't look like that they can hold on. The opposition National Party may not have the numbers to take over outright. So they need the assistance of the little parties, the independents, to form government with them, an alliance, so to speak. The problem here is that just a week ago, a politician passed away suddenly, and his vote, depending if he were to win his seat or not, his vote may have determined which way the government would be formed, whether it's for the ruling Labour in a minority government or the opposition National in a minority government. So now these votes are not going to be counted on the night, which is just, you know, Saturday night. It's here. Instead, there's going to be a by-election held in a few weeks to determine that particular seat. Here's the problem. If they end up in a hung parliament, they need to get 60 votes for a hung parliament, 61 for a majority. If they don't get that, then it's looking likely that they will have to have a second general election. Now, that may then include this particular seat that they're not counting at the moment, but it really has marred this election process. It's unprecedented what's happened here. And so time will tell. We won't know until we actually go through it this weekend what's going to play out.
Wildfires, brush fires, bush fires, they're a curse when the undergrowth is dry. That's true for California. I've learned it's true for Australia. And El Nino's here. Dry, very dry, and very hot. Have you had fires already, Scott? We've got 30 seconds.
Oh, yes. We've had like 40 small fires across the eastern parts of the country. And this is just a taste of the El Nino pattern setting up. So this is just a taste. The weather across here has been tinder dry. We've had a little bit of rain, but not enough. The heat and wind this weekend is going to be a precursor for what we will expect during the El Nino weather pattern, John.
And this is Australia's springtime, yes, moving towards summer. So the bushfire season is all the way into January of 24. Scott Maiman, CBS News, Brisbane, Queensland. I'm John Batchelor.